Hi, friends. Remember us? We had a podcast at one point in our lives, and we're here to do it again for you. So, welcome, newbies, if there are any, I hope. Welcome, oldies, if you're still here, I hope. We have thoughts, and we chat about movies and shit. So I'm Crystal, by
literal
the way.
Literal shit. Let me talk to you about my last trip to the bathroom.
That's the bottom.
I also have dog shit to talk about now. And he's been eating a lot of June bugs. So guess what I've been seeing as I pick up poop at night.
So that's Anna, by the way, over there.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Joy. And yeah, so we're going to talk about a movie today.
What movie?
Park the Car.
No. It was such a great movie.
He's so smart.
Wicked smart. We're going to be talking about Good Will Hunting.
They went on a date for some coffee talk.
They did say coffee,
and some caramels.
Oh my God.
Okay, we're going to make it.
So this is a movie from 1997.
Wow.
Which I didn't realize it was that old. I knew it was old.
I didn't think it was that recent. I thought it was older.
It's also the most recent movie we've talked about. Since we've switched over to movies.
Oh, yeah. It's the most modern movie. Mm-hmm.
That's the word I was looking for.
I got you.
Movie stars Robin Williams, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, and
Stellan Skarsgård.
I can never say his name. Directed by Gus Van Sant. And it was written by Matt and Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
Wait, it was?
Yeah.
Girl, yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is like their whole. That's
you
how
can
they
totally
became famous.
See that
this.
I Googled and nothing.
So it won, as far as awards go, it won Best Supporting Actor for Robin Williams. It was his first win ever, by the way.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Original screenplay by Matt and Ben. And Ben Affleck holds a record for youngest winner of a screenplay, original screenplay, at 25 years old. 25. What have I been doing with my life? Nothing. Not a thing.
That's something I can't beat. Fuck.
Literally, right? I can't beat it. So I'll just die. It's fine. So it won those two awards, but it was nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor, Matt Damon, Best Supporting Actress, Minnie Driver, Best Director, Best Editing, Best Original Song, and Best Score.
What was the original song?
It was called Miss Misery by Elliot Smith. And this movie came out, 1998 awards, and all those other awards it lost to Titanic, basically.
Oh.
Yeah, so Titanic won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Titanic won the direction. It won editing. It won Best Song, Best Score.
But it didn't win Best Screenplay. And it didn't win Best Supporting
Actor. And it didn't win Best Supporting Actress went to Kim Basinger.
Wait, it didn't. It was nominated for Best Song. Mm-hmm. I thought you said it won Best Song. I was like,
no,
wait,
it got nominated.
A fucking minute.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way. Which one day we'll talk about Titanic, but that's a
four part series there. Yeah.
It's going to be at least two episodes.
Do you remember how they were split up in VHSs? That's how we're going to have to split up the podcast about this. First half and the second half.
Yeah, I agree with this.
Yeah.
Maybe that should be our next project. It's just a full month of Titanic talk.
That's a long time. That's a lot.
That's a long movie.
Well,
there's a lot
right.
to talk about.
You're sure right.
And you can take my quiz live on.
Are you complete with it? Did you finish it?
Sure.
Yeah, just like I finished that logo I'm supposed to be working on.
So, yeah, that's the awards of this movie. It was a big deal when it came out. Oh, Matt Damon lost to Jack Nicholson for As Good As It Gets for Best Actor. Anna's favorite.
Creep.
So, Anna, can you give us a
synopsis? As Good As It Gets, though, is a great movie.
I've never seen it.
Never seen it.
I've never seen L.A. Confidential, which is what Kim Basinger won for Best Supporting Actress.
Who's Kim Basinger?
She's basic.
I don't know. I'm just kidding.
She's basicer.
I don't know. So Anna,
her daughter is Kim Basingist.
Shut up. You're so stupid.
Thank
Anna, can you.
You
give us a synopsis, please?
I can. Okay. A janitor at MIT solves an advanced mathematics equation, gaining interest from an award-winning professor. After a scuffle with a cop, Professor Lambeau steps in. Will's genius is put to work with the professor and confronts his past in therapy with Dr. McGuire.
Okay, so I didn't even know the doctor psychologist's name until like the end where I saw like his last name on the outside of his office.
Oh.
I was like, I don't know who. The only people's name I know is Will. And who else? Anyone else have names? Nobody.
Dr. Lambeau.
Yeah.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
I just kept thinking Stellan Skarsgård.
I feel like swearing is part of the Boston accent. Like, this is just how they talk.
Yeah, the F word is just like, it's an adverb.
It's like a placeholder for like when they're thinking, you know? Instead of saying, they say like fuck or something.
Get in the fucking car. So this this screenplay, since we're talking about it being, it won the Oscar, started off as an assignment for Matt Damon when he was at Harvard. He was taking a playwriting class, and it was supposed to be a one-act play, and instead he turned in a 40-page script.
Wait, Matt Damon went to Harvard?
To Harvard.
Is he actually from Boston?
He's wicked smart.
Shut the fuck up.
I don't know if he's from Boston.
But he's from Massachusetts. That.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, he is
Massachusetts.
Not Boston, but he's from there, yeah.
Massachusetts. Shut up. And it was originally more of a thriller with him being this wicked smart, you know, kid from Southie and the government trying to woo him and going after him and him hiding it from the government. And then when he sold the script to Castle Rock Entertainment, they were like, we're going to drop the thriller and just focus more on this guy.
Uh-huh. And his stuff.
And his relationships and all that.
Interesting.
And, friend of the podcast that we've talked about twice now, William Goldman, who wrote the screenplay for both All the President's Men and Butch Cassidy, was asked to take a look at the script. And many people thought, because his name was brought up, that he wrote it. And he had to, you know, come out and say publicly, like, no, I literally just read it. And I agreed with Castle Rock that it, you know,
the edits
it should be more of a piece, a drama than a thriller. It didn't need all of the action. It didn't need all of this. But everyone just assumed he rewrote it.
He was ready to be Jason Bourne even then.
Yeah. He was. Yeah. Damn.
He was training.
He was. Wow. I'm surprised to say I was not disappointed by Ben Affleck in this movie.
He didn't ruin it for you?
What the fuck? Okay. Although, so I only have 4 notes on this because I just wanted to.
It's too white for her. That's why.
I mean that too. I wanted to just. I like to just like watch it and like see what happens. I don't need to like dissect it as much.
We're here for, I guess.
Because then I can do this now.
No, I'm the same way. I tend to take less notes and just kind of bounce off the conversation as it goes.
Yeah. Mine's, I don't want to forget what I'm thinking, so I have to write it down.
I was so upset. Like, Ben Affleck was such a nice guy in this movie.
I know.
He was such a good friend. And I was like, bitch, you're such a douche. What's happening?
I know. One of my notes towards the end was, I just love a good group of friends.
Like, even though they're like, they shit on each other. Like, the professor was right. Like, they would literally go to bat for him no matter what.
Yeah.
They fought that random kid that bullied him in kindergarten for him.
Yeah, because he wanted to.
They were their best friends. Like,
speaking of that moment.
They're all stupid, but they're really good friends.
That was one of my other notes was, I want to know just once, just for a few hours, I want to know what it feels like to be a man and have that like adrenaline and that testosterone build up and just fight somebody. Like, I don't understand.
It's very interesting.
But I want to know what that feels like to get into a fight and to punch somebody out and to be that aggressive, because I'm not.
Just take a boxing class. Maybe that'll help.
Oh, yeah.
With my weak, ineffectual fists.
You don't know. They could have some like type of stuff to help you with weak arms. I don't know.
That's why you go to train. So then
to
that
train.
Way, that's,
I go to train.
Although I think that was such a weird song for the fight scene. Baker Street. I thought it was very
interesting. Yeah, some of the
it made me laugh out loud,
some of
actually.
The music choices were a little odd. Parts of it in the score, it was getting a little too like a little too cheery, a little too happy, a little too like, oh, we're gonna wrap this up in a nice bow towards the end, like when he goes to leave him the letter. I was like, this music is seeming very like Disney, everything's nice and rainbows now. And
very,
I'm like,
of the time too.
Yeah, like, it was just a little much. I was like, I want the music to kind of like scooch back so I can watch what's happening.
And to be fair, Danny Elfman has like a not a shtick, but he has something distinctive about him, and that felt very distinctive to me.
So I'm on my first watch through of Parks and Rec. I'm way behind the time, guys. Sorry, the times, not the time. Anyway, but I just watched an episode where April and Ben are in the car and they're stuck trying to get out. And she's going through his CDs and she's like, why do you have so many soundtracks? And he's like, I just like to think of it like the director's curating a playlist just for you. And I was like, Ben, shut up. I love you.
I love him. I fell in love with Ben Wyatt.
Guys, we're so in love.
But I also love the relationship with April that when they were in DC.
So great.
That was so great. Yeah. Sorry, so. Way off topic.
No, it's fine. I love that show.
Honestly, I just want you guys to know I would literally fight someone for you. Just
no, I know you would. You'd FYI. Fight somebody just so they piss you off.
Probably because they piss me off about you guys.
I don't know if I would physically harm somebody, but I'd stand up for you.
I wouldn't because I can't, but I would do it. It's something else. What, I don't know.
I would run and get the getaway car ready.
Thanks. I'd cry for
door
you.
Door open. That's all I can do.
Don't cry for me, Crystal.
Too late. So one of my favorite lines of the whole movie is when Casey Affleck says, I'm going to do the accent because I can't. You get canned more than tuna, bitch.
There were so many one-liners in this. So I was like, and now it makes sense because like it was written by youth. So like.
But also apparently Casey Affleck always ad-libbed. He never really stuck to script. And it was driving Matt and Ben crazy. But it was always so much better than what they wrote. They're like, just keep it. Which I thought was interesting.
So he looks so young too. Wow.
They look like babies.
He's like 22, I think.
They look like literal babies.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So when Robin Williams eventually comes on the scene, I went, because he was my childhood. Like, everything he was in from a certain couple of years was everything I watched as a child.
Yeah.
Ugh.
We grew up with Robin Williams.
When he passed, I literally thought I lost a family friend. It was awful.
I cried so hard.
Girl,
And maybe
especially
I'm like,
the manner in which he died. That
I know. And it makes me heart. Sad that he just wasn't. Ugh, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to get sad again.
It's, I'm going to go ahead and just jump ahead and right into it. But whenever he has that second to last scene with Matt Damon, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Because it feels like, it doesn't even feel like, and maybe just because, like, we grew up with Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. So he was always that, like, I don't know. To me, it feels like a constant that he was always like, the funny uncle that was there.
Oh yeah.
Even though he wasn't like physically here, like we knew him in a certain way. Mm-hmm. So it just felt like a nice hug from someone that you lost.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ugh.
And have wrecked. Him being the one to tell you that, like,
shut up.
It meant a lot. No, I watched this movie when I was pretty young, and watching him in a serious role definitely, like, it changed my perspective of him hugely. Like, he's not just the
a funny
genie.
Guy.
He's not just
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Gravity Works, Fern Gully. That's still one of my
Gravity
favorite,
Works.
My favorite fucking lines from any movie. Gravity Works, and he falls over.
That is really good. You're right.
We still need to have a Robin Williams movie marathon.
I know.
When is that going to happen? Great. Probably ever.
I definitely did watch Mrs. Doubtfire though, because it's on the Roku, and it popped up on one of my things, and so I sat and watched it, and I was like, it's weird, like I miss him.
No, yeah, same. I completely
it's really
get it.
Crazy.
No, I
but it was like a whole generation of just like,
I remember I had just started working as a nanny, and I was I had like literally met her the day before, and I was there at their apartment reorganizing his bedroom because they just moved into this apartment, and I got the notification on my phone, and I just sat there and cried. And she came in, she's like, what happened? And then her phone dinged, and she was like, oh my God. And we just sat there and like cried.
Aww.
It was very hard. But the bench where they go to the park and they have that conversation was turned into a memorial for him after he passed.
Aww, really?
It was like a touchstone for people in the Boston area. They would go and lay down flowers, and they started a petition to try and get like a statue of him there.
Did I ever do
it? Was
it?
Really sweet. No, I think the petition or whatever was just a few years ago.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's
good.
So what you're saying is we're going to Boston.
I've always wanted to go to Boston.
Me too.
Boston in the fall.
I always wanted to go to Harvard Law, even though that's a joke.
I would love to walk.
We can still
Harvard.
Go there. You don't have to like attend classes. Just go there.
I wish I would attend.
Let's go there and be like, I happen to Harvard.
You happen to Harvard?
Yeah,
Harvard.
Because I'm wicked smart.
Let's go get some coffee
talk.
I've been to Harvard. No, I've always wanted to go to Harvard, to Boston and Pennsylvania. The Pits.
The Pits.
I want to go to the pits. I want to go see like all the Liberty Bell shit and all that.
All the history shit.
Liberty Bell, we tried when my family and I went there. The line was so long, literally all day. So we drove close enough to be like, hi, Bell. And then.
Bye, Bell.
Basically, because the line was so long. So long. So yeah, Robin Williams.
But was it long?
It was so long. So, you know, I didn't like whenever Stellan Skarsgård goes to Robin Williams' class. And he like just opens the door. Like he's in the middle of the class.
That was so presumptuous. It's so douchey. And they exactly told me who that character was. And I was like, yeah, you're a fucking bitch. No wonder you're not friends.
At the beginning of my notes, I was like, I like it when Stellan Skarsgård plays a good guy. Because he's not, I mean, he's not the best guy in this movie, but he's not the villain. Like he's not, like he is in other movies. And then I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, he's playing a good guy, but he's also the epitome of white privilege creep.
He was a good guy in Thor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, because he's just like, he's assuming he's going to make decisions for this kid's future. And that's exactly what Robin Williams was like.
But then
no,
also,
you can't. Like, it's his life. And even if it's not how you want it, it's his decision to make.
But yes to all of that. But I'm also talking about those moments where that girl comes to ask him who solved the equation.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, but if you want to go have a drink later. And then when he's telling, he's talking to that other female
student, and outside of the classroom.
And he's like, you could tell he's laying it on thick and he wants her to eat it up. I'm like, this is so
and
gross.
I was
not that it makes it any better or excusable at
that
all.
That stood out so much
but
to me this time
it's more
around.
Evident now that we're older. We see this. We're living in this time. And you're like, oh, same with 16 candles.
Also because she was like, also because she, the girl outside of the classroom was like totally fake laughing after he like made a pass at her. She was like, ha, 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 ha. And then like was like, okay, we're done, sir. Bye. Yeah.
No. I definitely picked up on all those vibes.
Yeah, I was like, time around. Sir, you a professor. That's creepy. That's illegal. Please get away from me.
Also, why were they in on his therapy sessions? I hated that when he was being hypnotized.
Yeah.
I was like, that's probably a great reason why he's not
actually committing to this because you're fucking overbearing.
Why would he want to open up to you?
No, he don't know you.
I agree.
But I did love the very jealous TA.
Oh, yeah. I said, ooh, he jelly.
Every time he would do something nice, the eye roll or the size. Ugh. You should appreciate what he's giving you,
right? That little speech, that was funny. I think my first reaction to this was like, I don't think I've ever seen a young white janitor in all my life. Like ever. The janitors I've ever seen working at schools or at places or whatever, they're always like of color, and then they're usually like either middle-aged or older. I've never seen young, much less a young white man being a janitor.
I did like the when Robin Williams brings it, like questions him, like, you could have been a janitor anywhere, you could have done anything.
Yes.
Why did you pick Harvard?
Yes.
Why did you pick or MIT? Why did you choose MIT?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, because you know you have this in you.
Yeah.
And you know you can do
it. And it wasn't even subconscious because he did make that conscious decision to work there. Mm-hmm. Even if he didn't
outwardly.
If he think he wanted it, somewhere deep down inside him, there was that desire to be like notice me. Like,
mm-hmm. I want to be
I have
where
something.
People like me are thinking.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Can we talk about the dramatic ass slow motion fight that was happening?
Yeah, with that weird song.
What was that? It was so like, it was so
it
weird.
It kind of gives you the feeling like someone was about to die.
Like yeah, I was like, are we watching in slow motion? Because there's someone's gonna get like really hurt,
and it's gonna be like this big changing moment.
Yeah,
which apparently that was one of the previous directors attached to the film, or it might have been this guy. I don't remember. Asked them to write in a scene where Ben Affleck's character dies.
No,
and they put it in the script, and then they reread it, and they were like, yeah, no, it doesn't work.
No, that would have been.
It was too much.
Wow, I'm advocating for Ben Affleck. Who the fuck am I?
He literally just said, no.
God. It's because he was such a good friend.
This was before
all of his bad stuff.
Although he is going through stuff right now, and I really.
Yes, I really hope. I really wish
I hope
him the best.
Gets his ducks in a row.
It's just as far as like his TV or his movie roles, his movie choices.
Sometimes. I really do want to like him. I do. But he just, he's so, I'm not going to get into that argument right now.
Yeah.
I'm not
going to do it. I don't know. The fight scene just seemed really out of place. Like, I get that they would fight, but it seemed too stylized for the rest of the thing. It just didn't seem in the right style as the rest of the movie. Uh-huh. It was just like, oh, like, yeah,
we
this.
Need this to be gritty because South Boston is gritty and he is a Southie. But also at the same time,
we need it to be.
This is a drama and we want to make sure it's real nice and pretty.
I feel like if they didn't
put a bow on it,
if they didn't slow-mo it, it would have been fine. But they slow-mo'd it in like really weird close-ups. And I was
yeah.
like, this is awkward. This is awkward.
Yeah, those faces. I was like, this is not flattering for anybody.
Mm-mm. In the beginning, they started with a lot of real tight close-ups on Matt Damon. And mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't. He's.
They wanted to show you how hard he was thinking.
Right.
They
and I'm
wanted
like,
to show you
there's not enough like. The cogs turning. But I was like, it's not enough face acting that I'm like seeing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't do enough to like pull off just this. And I mean, maybe it could just be because he's really young and he just wasn't there yet. But like when there was real tight close ups on like half his face, like I was like,
but also
a little bit more, just push it a little bit more.
And up to this point, he hadn't acted. I mean, he's been acting since he was like a teenager, but not mm-hmm. that, not enough
and
to
like this.
Warrant those type of face acting close ups. Yeah. Know?
But one could also argue that he wasn't really trying that hard because it just came naturally to him. So
that's
like,
true. He did say at the end, he's like, this stuff is easy to me. Like, I don't want to sit here and correct you all day.
And the guy's like, oh,
that was
a
burn.
It's right.
I know.
That was a burn when he was telling the professor. He was like, no, I'm right. You're wrong.
You think I want to do this all day, correct you all day, watch you figure it out while I know what you, what's correct?
And he kept trying to question him. He was like, no, it's right. I know it's right.
God. Put Stellan Skarsgård in his place.
Wow. So what do you think of Minnie Driver?
I fucking love Minnie Driver. Oh, my God.
I thought she was.
These things the best do happen.
These things do happen.
She Man, was, no.
She was my favorite part. She was so great.
She was a great breath of fresh air.
She's a great driver.
Yeah, because there was so much male everywhere. Men everywhere. And then just her. And I was like,
their
okay.
Their first date at that little store was so adorable. Yeah. But then their first kiss when their mouths are full of food made me want to vomit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like...
I knew it. I knew you would hate that.
I did not like it. They had a coffee talk. That's why.
Coffee talk.
I don't know.
Might as well go get some caramel.
Adorable. I think she was really funny. I think she was really great. Her dramatic stuff, even when there was the close-ups of her crying, I was like, oh my God, she's pulling like so many faces right now. Like, wow. Yes. You're doing amazing, right? Sweetie. Wow. Wow. I was like, this is why I love you.
So there's a brief.
You're amazing.
There's a brief moment in one of the therapy sessions when Robin Williams talks about his wife farting. It was ad-libbed. Just added in, and that's why Matt Damon is like losing his shit. But there's a brief moment where you can kind of see the camera shake because the cameraman was laughing.
Oh, that's cute. I didn't notice that, but that's cute.
But I did love how romantic Robin Williams' character was.
Yeah.
I gotta go see about a girl. Like, ugh. Yes, ugh. Please.
So cute.
Broke my heart.
So cute. Restored also, how faith. Dare you, Matt Damon, like, first, like, in their first meeting and him, like, tear him down like that? I was like, no, sir.
But that's what he did to the other guys, too.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I would be fine if Robin Williams punched you right now. Although, I know he's not going to. And that would be a terrible regress into what has happened
and
to you already.
And it kind of makes sense because that's what Matt Damon understands.
The world.
You know, so Robin Williams almost had to get in his face, had to get in his throat. Because otherwise, he wouldn't understand that was not
the Yeah, because in turn, he broke him down. Mm-hmm. Just not in the same
And
not in the same
I
way.
I loved the way
but
Robin.
But he did, like. Pull them apart.
I loved the way Robin Williams handled it when they went to the park and he's like, you can tell me all about the Sistine Chapel, but you don't know what it smells like.
That whole speech was wonderful.
Beautiful. That was a great piece, masterclass.
Matt and Ben wrote that? Get out of here.
Where? Where? I have never seen their genius post that.
Well.
Post this. Where? What else have they written?
Written? I don't know, but he directed Argo pretty well.
He wrote that night by the night or of the night or something.
Oh yeah,
what was that?
They've co-written a lot of stuff, but not like by themselves together. They're more focused after the movie. They focus more on their acting.
Yeah, but because of this movie and because of the whole Matt and Ben being like best friends,
Ben and Matt.
That's kind of how Mindy Kaling got discovered. Was she and her best friend
in college
did a comedy sketch? Called Matt and Ben, where she played Ben Affleck.
Really? That's so cute.
They got recognized and at festivals and stuff.
She said she still gets like residual checks from people who want to do it in colleges and stuff like that.
Oh my god, that's adorable.
So I forgot that this is Minnie Driver's only Oscar nomination was for this movie.
Wow,
can you believe that? Can you believe that
she's
a these star. Things do happen.
That alone should have gotten her an Oscar nomination,
right? Shit. What a travesty.
That is bad.
Wow,
I don't want to stunned it. So I think Matt Damon really is great. I think he's
I've never quite understood your vitriol for this. Vitriol?
For Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
I don't know if we've gotten into it in the podcast.
I don't want to get into it now.
I mean, I understand what you're saying and why you don't. Uh-huh. But for me, I'm just like, I think he's fine. Like,
no, it's not about... Okay. It's not about him being fine. He's just...
The problem is that he is fine.
He's so lucky, okay? He's so... Okay, here we're gonna... I'm standing up. I'm sitting in my chair. He's so lucky. Everything he does isn't good because of him. It's because he surrounds himself with the right people, which I guess is kind of smart. It's wicked smart, if you think about it.
I wish you could That's see exactly her how face it. When she said, wicked smart.
Her eye twitches and everything.
But he's just... He's so... I think the height of my... Maybe not hatred, but annoyance with him is that Argo... The lead character was a Hispanic man, but he couldn't just be the director. He had to be in the movie too. He had to act in it. He had to do it. Why couldn't he have given that role to someone, I don't know, of the correct race? And it's something he brought to the role that was good enough to where he had to play the role. He had to be the lead. No, okay, Ben, just direct the movie. Just direct the movie. It was fine. That was probably the of it all because
that really like sent you over the edge.
It really did.
Because I think that's actually when we started talking about that is when Argo came out.
And I know he's going through lots of shit with his like, you know, rehab and his family. And I really do wish for him to get better.
Because yeah, just as a person. Like, yes.
I really do. He's just very frustrating to me. And I actually like Matt Damon. I've always loved Matt Damon. I think he's so charismatic and he's so charming. Like, the things he was saying, being really rude to Robin Williams and how he was, like, telling Minnie Driver, I don't love you, and walks out. First of all, that whole scene was great.
It was so good. How quickly.
That whole scene. Wow.
It happened so fast-paced.
It like, went from here to here to here. Yeah.
The beats of California with me. And then it just, like, turned on
he got scared that second. He was like, what? No, I can't. California. I can't
because she read him. She read him. She was like, you're scared. You're a little bitch.
And it's fucking okay. Love me.
And that's fine.
Like, I understand. Because
I understand. Yeah, I'm here for you. But he doesn't know how to accept support or love. Oh, God. I'm sad.
What you just said immediately brought me back to that quote from Perks of Being a Wallflower. You know, you accept the love you think you deserve.
I think about that quote all the time, actually. Yeah. That's a great
Which
quote.
That's awful. That's so sad and that's so
and
awful.
He's been always told that he doesn't deserve love.
That's so oof.
Anyways, Lord help him. Wow.
And also, like, I think I read that scene in the, going back to Robin Williams, that scene in the park was one take, if I remember correctly.
I also read
First
that.
First of all, bravo.
I read it that while it looks like they are only one of a few in the park, there were 3,000 people behind barricades watching them film this because they heard Robin Williams was going to be in the park.
Can you imagine if you were there watching him film it? Wow.
All right.
I mean,
no need for acting school. Just watch
I was
that.
There when they were filming when Justin Timberlake and what's her face were filming that Friends with Benefits movie. They're in Central Park.
Mila Kunis.
So, I mean, I was there for that. So if it ever gets awards, I was there. Even though it was a movie a long time ago.
If it ever gets awards post, I was going to say humusly, but anyways,
the music, the just keep going. Over.
All right, never mind. Just ignore me.
Never happened.
Rewind. Remix.
Rewind.
Sad.
So they give him a car in the end.
That was so sweet.
Like, made me cry.
That's when I wrote, I just love a good group of friends.
That was so sweet. They really pulled together and like, that's the shittiest car I've ever seen, but it means so much.
But the sentiment is so wonderful.
Also because like these guys can't afford a lot and to get him like a car.
I was in charge of the paint job. It's the worst fucking paint job I've ever seen. It was just such a beautiful moment.
Wow.
Especially because like
And it's the, as men.
As men and them not being able, I mean, Matt Damon in particular, but Matt Damon's character, but like them just not really understanding how to express emotions because they've never been allowed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the best way to express their love for him.
And they're.
That was love.
They're in Southie. They're in the bad part of Boston. And yet they still can come together and do this beautiful thing for their friend. And
even that scene before that.
I love friendships.
Same. That scene before when. Love you too. When Ben and Matt are talking in the construction site, he's like, I go and pick you up every day and I pray for those 10 seconds that you won't come, that you won't be there.
Yeah.
And he's like, don't take this the wrong way, but like, you need to do this for us. Don't do it for you. Do it for me. And I was like, oh, that's a great.
When he said, do it for me, I lost it. I know.
That's when I was like, damn it, Ben Affleck, there's good in you after all.
He was young at the time. Aunt Joy had gotten home and I was watching it. And I was like trying not to cry too loud because she was in her room.
I was like, I was trying not to cry too loud last night because I was like, oh, she's trying to sleep.
Girl, I was so like, tired. I didn't hear.
You don't have to worry about her here.
My head hit the bed. And I was like, was out, man. I was so tired. Whew. Jesus, Mary.
She was falling asleep on the couch trying to like rewatch it with me.
But I did a face mask.
Yeah,
I was in a face mask and I was like, oh, gotta go to bed. Anyway, so yeah.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I honestly had no idea what this movie was about. And
you know, I really liked it.
I really enjoyed it.
Although he's going from Boston to San Francisco to see here. That's a drive.
Also, bitch, is that car going to make it? Because like my car looks like that and my car will not make it even to Fort Worth. Wow.
Yeah. No,
I think it's only flaws that was produced by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And he's the reason he got made.
I saw that in the beginning and I was like,
yeah,
trash.
I think I wrote on here. I think I gave him a new name. Hold on.
Pause for effect.
I could have swore I wrote it down somewhere. I called him Harvey Pervstein.
Ooh, correct. Accurate.
Yikes. But Roger Ebert gave this 3 out of 4 stars and said, while the story is predictable, it is the individual moments, not the payoff, that makes it so effective.
That's accurate.
Yes. Actually, that's a great
Roger Ebert is great
way to review. Yeah, because like I was watching it and I was like, there's a million movies that have been made just like this. Mm-hmm. And it has the same plot points and everything. But like it was the character scenes, the really character acting that there was there, like between those, Robin Williams and Matt Damon and the Mini Driver and Matt Damon and then even Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And I was like,
I think he's running in his sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, baby. But yeah, those really just those like.
Yeah, the small moments. You're right. It makes up the bigger picture. Yeah.
It's OK that there wasn't an original new story.
Right.
It makes it OK because it's told so well.
I think it elevates the normal story.
Right.
Yes, because I think like the level of acting, the level of nuance to it. Like,
also, one of the greatest last lines of a movie. Son of a bitch stole my line.
What's the greatest last line movie? That's a great question.
That's another great question.
Hold on, write this down.
You gotta stop. Yeah, write these down. These are really good.
I'm sorry.
Do I have answers
for any
of
these? Can I have it?
No. I have none answers.
But I like.
Because the second you ask me something.
I have none answers.
Blank brain. Blank.
I have none answers.
Anyways, well, that was a nice watch. Was I bawling my eyes out? Yes. Did I need that? Also, yes. Am I going to find a clip of Robin Williams telling that thing to Matt Damon and then replay it every morning? Probably. Because I need it.
It's not your fault.
Don't talk to me, bitch. We're not.
You deserve love.
No. I'm running.
It's not your fault.
I'm running.
We love you.
No.
It's not your fault.
Oh, my God. This bitch.
You didn't do anything.
She's fired.
Bye.
Not making that logo.
Bye. Bye.